Hi, I'm Kat.
Wait, hold on. We should do other cat and other game.
Okay. Action. Hi, I'm other cat.
And I'm other Gabe.
And we're
the other girls next door.
Yes. Everything's better in the other ghouls next door.
Yeah, where we talk about other spooky stuff.
The better spooky kind. Everyone's favorite, the slashers. Everything's great here. What food do you like? We'll make that.
We'll do whatever you want so that you stay around and we'll fatten you up, but because we love you, not because we want to eat you.
I'll sing you a song. Because I'm not other mother, I'm other dad in that scenario. It's fine. Let's go with it.
All right. This is a podcast about Coraline, if you didn't notice.
Yep.
You can open your eyes now, Kat.
Yes. Buttons are gone.
Yeah, who needs buttons?
Glasses are back.
Yeah.
The gift of sight. Foggy sight. What is that?
Because we're wearing masks. Welcome back to the Ghouls Next Door. It is a spooky month, as it is every year. It happens to us.
The spookiest time of all.
Yeah, and we are, as mentioned before, talking about kids in horror. And talking about just their experiences, what it means.
Yeah, the kids are all right, you know. Sometimes they're the smartest. Sometimes they're little idiots. It really depends on which kid you get.
Yeah.
And also, like, oh, yeah, I was like, all kids can't, you know, be smart. I'm not trying to be a jerk. But I'm more so saying, it's like, sometimes they're the ones who know more about the spooky thing that's happening. Sometimes they're more in tune with arguably the other side. We had a whole episode about why kids are scary. This isn't that. This is the kids just know what's up.
Yeah.
And the adults are not being good adult people.
Yes.
Because exactly. They were once kids and no one helped them and it's sad.
Yeah. Well, also kids are new to trauma and what's happening to them. And so they manifest an understanding in the way that kids do, which is with magical beings and other
creativity.
Worlds. Yes, imagination.
Mm-hmm. Rainbow.
Yes.
It's formed. I see it.
Yes. So today we're talking about Coraline. Make sure if you like us in our episode and you want to celebrate our 3 years of being online, give us a like and a subscribe on iTunes and on YouTube. Because that matters to us, and we appreciate
monetize it. Monetize our presence.
Yeah, and also give us a comment. Tell us what you like. I think it's surprising we haven't done an episode on Coraline yet.
It's like one of the better spooky kid times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, spooky movie for children.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Tell us what it's about, Kat.
No.
Oh.
Okay. So, plot summary. An adventurous 11-year-old girl finds another world that is strangely idealized version of her frustrating home. So it's the better one.
Yeah.
But it has sinister secrets. So yeah, so it's about a kid.
Yeah.
Whose parents are kind of neglectful.
Yeah.
And they're going through a lot. And she's going through a big move.
Yeah.
She moves to this new place.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like weird and spooky times.
Yeah. It is made by Laika, so it's claymation, so it took a long time. It is based on the graphic novel by Neil Gaiman, who's one of my favorite writers. I have not read Coraline.
Mm-hmm.
I have just seen the movie, but I've read other books and short stories of his. And he does, he does have a tendency to write about, you know, trauma with youth and how it, like, personifies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it makes sense that this is what it is. I think it's a great kind of combination. Neil Gaiman has also done, like, other comics and graphic novels. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen those come to life, and it's super exciting. So this is just one of those that just kind of sticks out and exists on its own, even.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and people, like, appreciate it.
Yeah, it has, like, a lot of elements from a lot of other stories, and that there's this kind of diving down the rabbit hole. It's, like, a young child who's going to this other space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, you could think, like, Wizard of Oz.
Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland, you know. They're going places that the adults in their lives have not seen and, like, don't understand.
Yeah.
And they seem kind of, like, out there, and there's a reason they're going there.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me, so the beginning when you find out that Coraline has just moved to this new house, they're kind of in the middle of nowhere. She's an adventurous kid. It reminded me of Inside Out. Because that was, like, one of the big problems that the main character was, like, that was one of the inner conflicts she had, was that she moved, she was away from her friends, and she was going through all this, and her family didn't understand, because she was, like, just trying to laugh it off and not feel her emotions. And I feel like Coraline is kind of, like, the opposite, where she was, like, I am miserable, and I want you to know, and you're ignoring me, which makes me want you to know even more. And I think, so, like, when it starts, we have Coraline kind of exploring, and she's, like, following this cat, and she's trying to find the well. And
yeah.
She's using her stick, but
yeah,
it's
her
the
finder stick.
The wand.
Yeah.
And she runs into Wybie, which is a character we'll definitely talk about in depth. But when her interaction with him, we were like, wow, she is a little B-word.
Like, yeah, she's mean. Like,
she's so rude.
She's, like, for someone who just moved and doesn't have any friends, she's not trying to make any. But, like, it's definitely, you can tell, like, she's just like, I don't like you. I'm doing my thing.
Yeah.
No one wants to talk to me, but I don't want to talk to anybody else either. It's like an introvert.
Yeah.
You know?
And Wybie really tries. Like, he's like a young boy, so he's not exactly great at it.
Yeah. And you can tell, like, there's not a lot of
hold on, sorry.
There you go.
Okay, you can say, you can tell there's not a lot of...
You can tell there's not a lot of, like, other kids in this area. Like, there's that's something that's brought up in the beginning, you know, that there's not a lot of kids that rent
at the... They're not allowed.
Yeah. What's the palace called? It's, like, Pink Palace or
something. Yeah,
something
like that. I forget.
He's, like, a little awkward, maybe not just, like, because it's been summer, so, like, you know, they're getting ready for school. He hasn't, like, had a lot of friends to hang out with. So he's, like, kind of, like, an awkward... Early late middle schooler aged kid.
Yeah.
Has to be like second or fourth grade, maybe.
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell ages because they're cartoons.
Yeah, I think they're like, I would say middle school, say, or like late elementary school, maybe like fourth or fifth grade. I don't know. We should probably looked it up. But yeah, I feel like YB is really. I feel for YB really strongly. It kind of. Was similar to, not exactly similar, but in that, like, I didn't really, like, you know, we don't love Sabrina, because we're, like, we sympathize with the other characters, which just happens with protagonists, but as soon as we get home, and we see the mom, who's just, like, already over Coraline, even though she hasn't been here all day, and is just, like, if I do this thing, will you leave me alone?
Yeah.
And it's, like, you had a child. You have to understand that you're that child's whole life, and you don't stop being that. Like, you gotta do it.
Yeah, like, at no point is that, like, obligation gone.
Yeah.
And then also, like, okay, the whole thing is, like, if you're gonna have kids, like, want to have them.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
And it's definitely, like, a whole time, like, you can tell, like, she's tired. You don't know the reason, necessarily. There's, like, hinting to, like, a car accident that happened. There's, like, their jobs that are very demanding. There's kind of, like, this conflict between the mom and the dad. And none of that's, like, kind of explained or outlined to you. But you kind of sense it. And the mom's clear, like, she does that, like, back and forth that parents often will do, is where they say something really rude. And then later, they try to act all nice.
Yeah.
As a way to, like, kind of, they won't say sorry, but they're just trying to make up for it. And then that kind of makes it, like, worse, because you're just like, then just apologize.
Yeah, just do better.
Parents can be wrong. It's okay. Say sorry. It's no one will, your authority will not shatter before you into a million pieces. The child will still respect you. If anything, it teaches them emotional empathy. But yes, so you kind of get why she's kind of rude. Because her mom's kind of rude.
Yeah.
And her dad's also, like, he's a little sweeter around the edges. But he's still also, like, I'm busy, leave me alone.
Yeah, he's also over her. And, you know, what I got from it was definitely that, like, the mother is the one with the power in this relationship. Like, she's the head of the household, which I can...
She's the one making the money.
...understand. She's, you know, like, he works for her, right? And, I come from a matriarchal family, so I know what that's like. But, like, even when she comes in to tell him about dinner or, like, what she, or to ask her dad something, he says, like, what did the boss say?
Yeah. Right?
Because that's the mom. And I also think, like, when we do eventually go to the other world and we meet other mother and other father is very much also a victim in this. Like, he's a gourd. he says hungry as a pumpkin. And then later we realize he really is a pumpkin.
Yeah.
But, like, he is just a tool because it is the other mother who's holding it. And I think, you know, when we put on our media analysis glasses and we look at this situation, I think what is clearly happening is we have an angry, I would say borderline abusive parent, if anything, neglectful. Mm-hmm. And when you have, like, oftentimes we see the true face of our parent, right? Like, we know what they really are. Mm-hmm. But those kinds of parents also have this other face that they show to everyone else, right? Like, they're the ones who are, like, people love hanging out with them. They're super, like, charismatic. People love being around them. They light up the room. And people are always like, oh, my God, your parent is so great. Like, aren't you, like, and you're just like, you have no idea what I'm dealing with.
Emotionally inside.
Yeah, like, this is the worst. You could have them. And so I think, like, that's kind of what we're seeing here is these two sides. And it's kind of like there's also that thing with, like, abuse where you are abused and then they turn around and they do really nice things for you. Mm-hmm. And they make you kind of second guess yourself and they gaslight you into this point where you're like, maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm, like, thinking, like, I'm a, you know, they were just tired.
Yeah. You start making excuses for them. Yeah.
Because when they're good, they are so good, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're, like, the best parent you could have. And so you kind of hold on to that when things get bad. Mm-hmm. And that happens with a lot of any type of abuse, right? Like, that just, whether that's relationship or parental or what have you. And I think that's really what Coraline is struggling with, is that she's seeing the good mom, and she's like, this is, like, I love her, she's great, and confronting with the fact that they're actually the same, honestly, because in the end, when the kids are freed after she found their buttons and stuff, she's like, I'm glad we're all good. And they're like, we're good. You're not. Like, you're still in danger. Right? Like, you're still doing it. And I think that is interesting because it's kind of left open. Mm-hmm. Like, is other mother going to come back? Or are these really her parents? Like, is this reality?
Yeah, there's definitely this question. You do have, like, the kind of, I guess, in a way, trying to tie it up at the end with the hand coming through the wall and her trapping it in the well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you definitely just have, like, this mom who's clearly tired and disappointed with a lot of things in her life and is not processing that in a healthy way and is not taking it in her family in a healthy way. Like, if she's unhappy, therapy exists. And, you know, having open and honest conversations about why you're upset and stuff like that exist. But you kind of, like, don't see that in the film. It's kind of like, can you just be easy?
Yeah.
Which is something I feel like kids get a lot, because kids are a lot. Kids are a lot of energy. They're new. They're new to the world. Everything is exciting. They want to be constantly entertained. They want to know everything. They want to know, like, what is that? Where is that? Who's that from? Like,
where,
why? Why everything?
Yeah.
And there's this curiosity because they've not had the exhausting life that is what it is to become an adult. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have all this kind of existential dread when you're a kid. Everything is new and hopeful, and you have, like, all this potential for what life can be. Mm-hmm. And you just want to know where and what everything is. And adults are so tired.
Yeah.
And you kind of see that really honestly in Coraline, and you see this, like, kind of, like, unhealthy processing of it in neglectful relationships, which is, I would argue, like, even when they go into the other world, like you were saying, like, the two sides, that, like, the other mother is clearly showing how, like, predators can trap people into being, like, overly gift-giving, overly welcoming, giving all your favorite foods, buying you, like, stuff like that, like, going kind of, like, all in.
Yeah.
And then later showing kind of monstrousness.
And then it's too late.
And then you're in there and you're like, oh, God, what have I done?
Yeah.
I want to go back. Let me go back. And for a lot of people, you can't. So.
Yeah. And I think it's also, like, when we were looking up, like, articles, there's not a lot of articles on it.
There weren't.
Which was, like, kind of wild. Because I feel like there's a lot that's being said, and when you watch it, you can kind of feel that. But one of the articles that you found was mentioning mind control, which doesn't exist. Mind control isn't real.
Yeah.
You can't control minds, but you can influence minds.
Yeah, you can manipulate people.
Yes, right. And you can, you know, gaslight them into thinking that there's a different reality, right? Like, people can succumb to conspiracy theories and all that. And kind of what I saw was a little bit of, like, cult mentality. So, like, with a cult, it's like they lure you in with, like, this is your family. These are people that understand you. When you, there's, like, you are easy prey because you are a loner. You are outside. Mm-hmm. No one knows you or loves you or cares about you. You feel that way at the very least. And so they kind of show that to you, and they give you all these, like, hopes and dreams, and you believe in it. And then you spend so much of your life and your energy and your beliefs in that, to the point where when things start to go left and it gets violent or it gets scary, it's kind of too late. Like, you're already in too deep, and to get out of it means to completely, like, well, one, it's to admit you were wrong and to admit that you were weak, right? And that you fell prey to this thing. But also just, like, you have to, like, rework your whole brain to believing this other thing. I think what's interesting is the other kids that the mom has. That's the stories that I would like to see more of, is, like, I think it would have been pretty cool, and I don't know if this is in the book, again, because I haven't read it, but I think it would have been cool if, like, when we see those kids and they're kind of telling their story, if we got a flashback.
Yeah.
To, like, what their lives were like, because one kid looks like he probably worked, like, on a farm or in a mine. That's probably, like, miserable. And, but I think there is a problem with YB's character that really upset me. And I think, well, Kat, you brought it up. You just mentioned, like, this is just, like, it feels like another case of, you know, we have this character and we didn't take into account what it means to have this character. We didn't take into account the person that this character would be, given the way that the world sees you. And which, like, I, you know, it happens, and this is older. It was before there was, you know, as much gatekeeping and us and people like us being like, you gotta worry about representation. Like, don't put, like, a young black boy in here if you're just gonna use him and then you're gonna silence him.
Yeah.
Like we have done to,
and have him be, like, the self-sacrificing black friend for this little white girl. He's literally just, like, a little side friend whose only purpose wasn't in the book. Literally was put in there so Coraline would not talk to herself.
Yeah.
Is what they said.
And, so he wasn't in the book?
No, he wasn't in the book.
Okay, so Neil doesn't have to do it. Okay.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with Neil. He was added in to the movie because specifically they didn't want it to be like Coraline was talking to herself and, like, didn't have any friends. So they made it so that there was a friend who was there to, like, help her along the way, but also didn't make it so she's just, like, hallucinating.
Gotcha. Well.
So that's extra not great. Because it's literally, like, they give him no character substance. They gave him very minimal of a backstory. And then literally he's said a bunch of stuff at the very beginning. Coraline decided she did not like that he talked a lot. And then he was silenced for the rest of the film.
And continued to help her.
And sacrifice his life in the other world for her.
And she's mean. She's never not mean.
She's never until done the end, even anything in the end. To inspire that kind of relationship. There's not this kinship between them. She is actively telling him to go away. Like, there's nothing that's like, oh yeah, let's be best friends. You should sacrifice yourself for me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get it in the sense that other mother, like, made this world to entirely revolve around her. So, like, that's obviously not actually YB, and this is other mother's creation of YB.
Yeah.
But just the fact
that it is a manifestation of what other mother imagines she wanted from YB.
Yeah.
So, and even, it's even worse, because now he's, like, completely removed from his personhood and is just, like, the gourd.
Yep. No, exactly. And it's definitely, it wasn't thought through. It wasn't, like, or if it was, that's messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just didn't think of what it would mean to choose a black boy mm-hmm. as her best friend and to not give him any character development, kill him off, and silence. Like, that's just messed up.
Yeah. When other mother mentions, like, you thought he talked too much, so I silenced him. Or I shut him up or something like that. I was like, ouch. Like, it hurt, like, to hear that. And I was like, Webby. And the fact that she, like, calls him, why were you born? Mm-hmm. And all these things. And it's like, you don't think he gets that enough? It like, really, yeah, it killed, like, it made me really not empathize with Coraline. Like, I get she's going through a lot and all of that. But it was really hard for me.
It's just like, I don't like her. Oof. And also,
I mean, just feel bad that she's like that. Like, mm-hmm. I feel bad that she's very, like, hurt people, right?
Yeah.
And I get that. Like, this is what she knows. Like, she doesn't, clearly she knows how to have friends because she had two, right? At least in that picture.
Yeah. I very much imagine this is not in any way what they were trying to do. Because, one, I don't know who made this, like, film in terms of what their nationality is.
Mm-hmm.
But it, I don't even know if a paper could be written about it, but it's a very clear representation of the danger of a white woman to a black man.
Yeah.
In that she says a thing, the world handles it, and it's gross. Like, when white women call the police on black men, police don't do their job, or I guess they do. They do messed up things and murder people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, because the white lady's like, they're being loud.
Mm-hmm.
I feel unsafe for them just being human.
Yeah, I'm in the park. And he's bird watching.
And it's honestly like, Coraline complains about YB. YB gets his literal mouth sewn shut.
And she didn't feel bad.
No.
She wasn't like...
She's like, oh, good, my now silent friend.
Yeah, well, for a minute she was like, oh, this happened to you. And then she's like, ignore, because I'm going to like... Because this is about me.
I'm going to save these other children, not you. It's fine if you sacrifice yourself, very alive child. I must save the souls of the dead ones.
Yeah. there was actually... So we had... I had seen a Twitter thread, and I by the time this comes up, I will have images on YouTube of the Twitter thread, but as of right now, I do not have it, and I apologize. But it was this really great Twitter thread about BIPOC being silenced in film and not having their voice. For specifically, one of the more recent ones is Kimiko in The Boys is played by Karen Fukuhara, who's also played, oh my God, it's killing me. I always forget her name, but she was in Suicide Squad for a minute, and she's just, like, the Asian superhero.
Mm.
and her name is, like, Katana, I think.
Yeah.
And she's also silent because she speaks another language, so the whole time she's like, I saved one snarky thing. The thing about her is that she's also the voice of Glimmer in She-Ra, and she's the voice of Kipo in The Age of the Wonder Beast.
Oh my gosh!
And Kipo. So it's like, she's very capable of emoting and being amazing.
You silenced her for why?
Right? And it had this whole list of all these characters who had something that would be debilitating, like the one Asian character in Pitch Perfect.
Mm.
And how she, like, whispers the whole time, right? And so, like, I had read through that, and I was like, oh, my God, it's so true. There's so many of those characters where they just, like, totally take their voice. Like, they literally take her voice. Like, how awful is that?
The one I viscerally remember is Lizzie McGuire, the little brother's friend. He's the only black character that I can remember, and he doesn't speak.
He just, like, he agrees with him.
Through the little white boy whose name I forget. And I remember, like, watching it, like, because I got Disney Plus and I rewatched it as an adult, and I was like, what the hell? Like, ew.
Oof.
Why is he not saying words? Because, like, you know, now media analysis glasses and, like, aware. When I was, like, 10, I was like, TV! But now I'm like, what? What? That little boy is in so many episodes, and he says zero words.
Yeah, he's like,
that one bothered me a lot after rewatching it as an adult.
Yeah. Yeah, and so as soon as they took YB's voice, I was like, I'm gonna throw another one. Because, like, are you kidding me? And I get it, again, because this is older. And there's a lot of things that I did enjoy. I don't want us to, like, harp forever. But it is important and, like, you know, coming, you know, fresh into, you know, Media Literacy Week, right? You have to think about how, like, people need to be more conscious. Like, if you're gonna put a POC in your film, you do need to be conscious of their experience. Like, they're going to have a different experience than, like, your white characters are going to have. And it's going to be more, like, you have to think about the way that cinema and media has handled and portrayed and represented those characters. Like, what other harmful things have happened to them in the past that you should shy away from? Like, and it's not, it's ignorance isn't an excuse at that point. It's like, you really should do your due diligence and one, ask a person of color. Not to say, like, I don't know who's on the team at Leica, but I'm willing to bet that it's a lot of white people.
I mean, when did it come out? 2000s, early 2000s, I would also guess.
Yeah. Like, we weren't doing give us jobs kind of thing.
And I mean, it's just like thinking about, I feel like it should just be a token. If you're going to have side characters, they should be well developed. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, don't put them in there. There shouldn't be any filler character. There should be a person who's a person. And then maybe that'll help people who, like, don't understand.
Yeah.
It's like, because you can't just put a character in there for no reason.
Yeah.
You can't just, and especially if you're going to make them a black kid or a POC or anything like that, you can't just throw them in there like, hey.
Yeah.
Whatever happens to them, there's not history. Just let it be. And it's like, and I don't want it to be like a thing where it's like, don't put people of different representations in things.
No, you need to.
But you need to be mindful of, like, how you're portraying them.
Yeah. I think, like, yeah, because another question I had was, like, YB lives here. Mm-hmm. And he's lived here his whole life. Other mother doesn't want him? Other mother didn't make a doll for him? He doesn't have other grandmother on the other side waiting for him? Like, I was like,
they didn't live in the Pink Palace, but yes.
But, like, he had the doll. Mm-hmm. The doll was, like, and he just happened to find it and he gave it to her, right?
Right.
There was no doll of him. Other mother don't want to know. Right? Because I'm sure he could have gone in that house. Like, I'm sure he's, like, he's around, you know, rummaging around. So there's a whole other part of this that I cannot deduce why it exists. It's fun. And that's the other characters that are in here. I don't really know what they're doing. Like, Media Analysis glasses on, I'm like.
Yeah, for some reason, there is a Chernobyl survivor.
Yes. And then there's two women who may be gal pals, or like gal pals, you know what I'm saying? Just two gal pals living together, living their lives out,
doing their theater dreams.
Yeah. Like shifty eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Chernobyl cleanup crew member, which is the Strichnovsky or whatever. I forget his name. Oh my god.
Yeah, in the book it's like Bobo, which is very weird.
Yeah, and he has his mouse circus.
Uh-huh.
And it's fun. He's a crazy character. It's really kooky. I think he's fun. And he does have, he's blue, so it's like maybe that has to do with it. And the mom presumes that he's a drunk.
Oh, interesting.
She says, like, in so many words, essentially calls him that. And she, in the end, says he's not. He's just eccentric.
That's
what Coraline says. And then the two ladies who live downstairs were performers, and they have really yappy dogs. And then they have a very questionable scene for children in the other world where they are in their underwear and their,
like,
boobs
very
are
very naked, almost. And, like, and then there's, like, so I guess, like, the other world is just, like, transforming people into whatever the weird idealized version of them is. So, like, there's the scene where, like, the older women shed their entire bodies and are suddenly younger and, like, way skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Chernobyl survivor who literally just turns into rats. Why is that the more ideal version
of
him?
Rats, like, his mice were able to have the circus. He did.
I know, but it's like, they just took him out. But it's like, you're made of rats now.
The dad is made of gourd.
Okay, I get it. I'm just saying, this is like, why? Those are the only weird ones. They're just like, why are they there? I guess it's just like to show that if you're living in a place with a bunch of different people, odds are some of them will be weird.
Yeah.
And that just has to be okay. And if you're a kid, like, of course you would go meet the weird neighbors.
Yeah, yeah. I think... there's a the garden. I think that's another interesting aspect to Coraline, and that she likes to garden. Mm-hmm. She wants to garden, and her parents write garden articles and stuff. Garden stuff. Magazine, but they hate to garden. It's like, what?
Then why is that hypocrites? Your whole thing?
Yeah. And I think that's like another level is like, this woman is a fraud.
Yeah.
She is a fraud. She is worse mom.
I don't know about worse mom. I've seen worse moms.
Yeah, that's true.
Mom from Carrie. Yo, we did not even plan that. We were on the same wavelength.
That's worse mom. That is worse mom.
Worse mom is Carrie's mom.
Yeah, she's like second. She's in the town of worse moms.
There's like a handful. Yeah, they just all live together in this whole town. Yeah, they're in this town. But she's definitely not great.
No.
I don't want to hate on her too hard. She's just definitely like, I hate my life, but I'm also a mom.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It's just, she doesn't hate Coraline. She just hates that she's here.
Yeah, she just hates that she has to do this
situation. There's like implication of like this possible car crash that was Coraline's maybe fault.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a lot of things at play, and it is still your kid. And your kids do need to know that you're human, but you also just shouldn't like traumatize the crap out of them.
Yeah.
Because like the worst thing you can do to a kid is make them feel insignificant, because they're going to process that and feel that forever. Mm-hmm. And they will try to find significance in things that will not make them feel that, like alcohol or drugs or random people to have sex with. Like, you just need to be really mindful. Like, if you make your kid feel like they're nothing, they're gonna act like they're nothing. Like, it's like the self-fulfilling process. You're the one who decides what their self-worth meter is.
Yeah,
they've imprinted on you, and there's nothing to do but network to help it.
Yeah.
But they love you, and they want you to, like, pay attention to them. And you can't do that all the time, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't gotta be like, ugh, you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Child.
And that's hard if it's all, like, moms nowadays, parents nowadays, they don't get a break.
Yeah.
Coronavirus time, they're in front of you all the time. There's room for error. But if they're gone all day.
Yeah.
And they still come back, and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
You, that's not. You should want to see your kid.
Yeah, I
think sometimes
Coraline's mom really just doesn't like her life, and she made a lot of decisions to get here, and she's just kind of dealing with it. And she needs to get a hobby, do some cardio or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to go out and play in the dirt.
She's clearly depressed too. Like, she doesn't go to the store. Like, you see how empty the fridge is.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of
haven't unpacked any boxes.
Yeah, like she's still very much like in this kind of detached state, and she's kind of processing whatever the heck she's processing, and still has to be a parent.
Yeah, and it sucks that the other parent is also, like, a nothing person without the other parent. So it's like you got two parents down.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't unpacked, they haven't done anything. I think one of the saddest parts or scenes is actually, like, when they're shopping for Coraline's uniform. Mm-hmm. One, I think we can tell that this family has money issues. For one, they had that accident, and the car is still damaged.
Like, damaged, yeah.
And so there's a part where Coraline wants those colorful gloves. And I think the thing with uniforms is, like, kids don't want to, like, look the same. And so, like, I remember I didn't have uniforms in school, but my younger siblings did. And one of the things that we did so that they would feel at least a little better was, like, the shoes that they wore. Mm-hmm. Or, like, we would spend a little more on the shoes because we saved money from not having to buy them whole new outfits, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they had, you know, the uniforms. But they had those shoes, which would be, like, their pop of their personality.
Yeah.
So they were still themselves.
Their flair.
Yes, their flair. And Coraline wants a flair. She wants her gloves in the... And the mom, you know, is just like, no. And, like, you know, I'll get you something later. And she's like, I wanted the gloves. And she's like, you know, being a brat about it. But I think really what it is that she doesn't have the money to buy those gloves.
Mm-hmm.
They just moved. Clearly they're struggling. They have to get this book out. And that's a lot of pressure. And instead of, like Coraline is old enough that you could have a conversation with her. Like, you could be real and be like, listen, I know you really want these gloves. Right now, we are hard up for cash.
Yeah.
I will get you these gloves when we financially can. And I don't want you to think, like, I don't want you to think that you don't deserve those gloves, because you do, because mm-hmm. you're a child and you deserve them. Mm-hmm. You deserve to have your flair. And just being real with her, because I think Coraline's pretty smart. Like, she's yeah. like, she has her wits about
like
her.
She's a brat, just a kid. But she would understand if you took the time. I think that's literally like a big thing, minimum. Too. I think that's a big thing, too, because that's something that's very much just like in a parenting thing. Like, even if you're giving, like, parent-family therapy. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, parents feel like they have to put this, like, perfection guise up. Like, mm-hmm. they're superhuman. They can't make mistakes because then their authority is shattered. They can't be vulnerable because mm-hmm. the kid, like, needs to think that they have everything, like, together to feel safe. But I think there is, like, I think it's important to be open and honest to your kids so that, like, one, the whole impact over intent, but that they know your intent at least. Because mm-hmm. they're way more likely to be a partner with you in yeah. the journey if they know, like a lot of kids when they're growing up, even if they have struggles, if they can see that their parent is working their butt off and they're trying.
They appreciate that.
They know that they're trying. You know, and they're older, they're like, Mom, try for me. You know yeah. what I mean? And if you're not, you're just trying to act like everything's fine all the time.
Yeah.
But it's not, and they can sense it, and they're just frustrated. They're like, why won't you just tell me what's going on? Why won't you pay attention to me? Why won't you this? You're just treating me like I don't exist, and that's not okay.
Yeah.
And I can sense something's wrong, but you don't want to be around me long enough to tell me what it is. And yeah. it's just kind of like this, like, unspoken tension.
Yeah, I think Coraline really is just looking for literally any amount of affection. And you know, wants to be comforted is, I mean, it's tough for a kid to be taken from their friends and to live in this life and to be, she's like out there on her own. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't like YB. That's the one option she has and she doesn't like him. And like, tough. Sometimes kids don't like other kids, right?
Yeah.
So that's all she has. And then she's got these weirdos live around her. And the mom just like, go outside and play in dirt. Like, I feel like if the mom gave her any, like, even the smallest modicum of like, I love you, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And at some point she does try, but it's like too little too late because she's gotten a taste of like turkey. Like the mom doesn't even cook. The dad cooks and he doesn't cook well.
He cooks like weird food, like eccentric food.
Yeah, yeah. Or just like it's super savor food. It's like yeah. casseroles and like we had to cook whatever's in our fridge and we can only buy it's so much food. It's definitely
like too fancy for kids kind of deal. Like kids want to know this is chicken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is cheese. When you have, like, okra or, like, I don't know, what did you say? It was some fancy vegetable.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it was. It was a fancy vegetable yeah. that's, like, that is too many letters. I already don't think I like it. I'm picky. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't sound like you said carrot. So.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know what that is. It sounds fancy. I don't want it. It was like me when I was a kid. Yeah. I ate mac and cheese. I ate anything with cheese.
Yeah.
Chicken fingers. Yeah. Grilled cheese, bread.
Yeah. yeah.
Bread or chicken. I would eat those things. And if it's anything else, I was like, no. But that yeah. was more so a thing. Like, I didn't trust adults. And I was like, if you're not telling me every ingredient, I'm not eating it.
Yeah, yeah.
You were poisoning me. You're not. But, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. But I was just like, I don't trust anybody.
When I was really, really little.
Set traps for Santa.
They would just tell me that it was chicken, and then I eat it. Mm-hmm. So, which is funny, because I don't eat chicken now.
And they did that, chicken, but then I found out their lies, and then I never trusted them again.
I wasn't very picky, so it was like, you're like, this is chicken. I was like, cool. And it was like cereal.
I was like, are you sure?
I'm dying.
Not.
Yeah, I think, overall, I think it's a fun movie. It's cute. I love what Laika does. Like, I've even watched, like, Box Trolls.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautifully done. Mm-hmm. I think, so, it's like when we think about, like, horror, it's like, we criticize it a lot. We criticize mm-hmm. films a lot. It doesn't mean we don't like it.
Yeah, no, we love watching it.
It was such a fun time.
Yeah.
It's just, like, you also gotta acknowledge the things that aren't doing a good job.
Yeah.
Because time, it's like, that's why we don't watch Law & Order SVU anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't age well.
Yeah, we know what it's like. Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, it's really cool. I'm totally blanking, but the score was originally supposed to be done by a specific band.
Okay.
And I'm totally blanking on what it was, but they weren't available. And so then the score became something else. But I really enjoyed the score. And mm-hmm. and there's even elements of, like, the songs that come, like, as a prelude, or it's, like, referenced later that you're, like, mm. you don't even notice. And then you're, like, why do I feel, like, uncomfortable? And it's, like, yeah. oh, because, like, oh, that's, like, the other mother song, right? Mm-hmm. I think Other Mother is absolutely terrifying. I mean, so this week and next week, our episodes are very similar. Like, Coraline and our next episode will be about It Chapter One. Those kids are going through similar, you know, traumas. Mm-hmm. And we also have Yellow Raincoat. But also, the spider. Like, yeah. a big spider person is a penultimate scare for most children. Yeah. like, even That's if they fair. Don't know it. It That's just fair. Is.
You don't want giant spider times.
No. You don't want Other Mother to become emaciated and scary, sharp edges, and then many legs. Mm-hmm. And then bug mm-hmm. furniture, which was the bugs that you found earlier. Like, it is really cute. There's all these little, like,
little Easter nods eggs. To other parts, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the story, so Neil Gaiman wrote this story because he had heard this folklore story of these two sisters. I can't remember their so bad today. I don't remember anything. There's two sisters, and they come across this girl who's like, I will show you this really cool thing, but only if you are really bad kids. And they're mm-hmm. like, but we're really good kids. And they're like, well, you have to be bad, or you can't see this. You can't see these two people perform. And so they're like, okay. So they go home, and they tell their mom that we met this person that says we have to be bad. And the mom uh-huh. says, if you're bad, like, I'm going to be really sad. And they're like, but we have to. And she says, if you're bad, then I have to go away, and your other mother will come, and she will have, like, she's like, insect-like, but she's not, like, exactly Ooh. The spider, but the other mother will come, and she has to be your mom now if you're bad, and that will make me really sad. I'll be gone. And they're like, okay, and so they, like, break something, but they're not bad enough. And that goes on for a while, where they keep yeah. doing something. They're, like, jumping on the bed. They're being, you know.
Kids.
Bad, yeah. And eventually, they are bad enough, and their mom just, like, disappears.
What?
And they're like, they're worried, but they run out. They did the worst bad thing they could do. They run out to find the person, and they're like, well, it's too late. The two people I told you were going to perform already left. So too bad. And they go home, and then they hear, like, the clopping and the, like, the sounds of the new mom. And she, like, doesn't have eyes, like, or something. Like, it's, like, she's, like, really, really scary. And that's, like, their mom now. It's, like, and that's it. Like, that's the folklore. And Neil Gaiman says, like, he read that, was, like, to him it was, like, this, like, it was so interesting to have this, like, your mother is, like, your comfort, right? Like, uh-huh. that's who you run to when you are scared. And so to turn that and make this evil mom that yeah. is, like, a result of you being bad. It was, like, he was, like, I just loved that, like, how That's, scary that is.
And the graphic novel is, like, a lot scarier mm-hmm. than the book. Or, like, the book is a lot scarier than the movie mm-hmm. situation. Like, they were reading, I watched a YouTube video, and they were reading some, like, the descriptions. Like, the other dad is, like, a blob with a mouth that's not a mouth with white webbing image. Like, it was scary. Like, the imagery that mm-hmm. was created, I was like, oh no, I'm happy they didn't show this to the kids. But wow, what yeah. a time. Like, it was written really well, it seems like, with, like, the way that they were describing the different scary elements. It was lots, there's things that you can't show on screen that yeah. are just, like, when you have the words and you're imagining it, your imagination is way more powerful than
yeah, yeah.
your eyes.
I think books are, like, honestly scarier than, like, film, because it's, like, you have to imagine it and put that in your head. And then otherwise, like, on film, it's, like, it could be bad.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're, like, this isn't scary. This looks stupid. It's animatronic, right? But in your head, you're, like, no, this is real. I yeah. envision only real things.
And also, it's, like, you close your eyes when you're watching a movie and it's gone. You close your eyes and you see the thing that you imagined.
Yeah, it's still there. It didn't leave. Yeah. yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I think, like, Neil Gaiman has, like, we should definitely do an episode on him. Because, I mean, he's got Sandman. He's got The Graveyard Book, which I love. He's got The Ocean at the End of the Lane. Like, he has these stories that, like, especially The Graveyard Book, it, like, on the surface looks like, okay, this could be for children. Mm-hmm. And then you're, like, reading it. And so it's, like, a character of the kid, his name is Nobody. And the first chapter is that his parents are murdered. And then he ends up, he's raised in a graveyard by ghosts.
Oh.
And it's like a whole experience. And what that's a time. Why his name is Nobody, because he doesn't have a name. Wow. There's a black girl in that, too. I think she's black or she's Indian. I just remember that she was of color, I'm pretty sure. I'll look it up. Or maybe I just envisioned that because I was like, she's going to look like me. I always feel like I picked it up like, graveyard book. This is like going to be a fun read. And I was like,
No.
There's murder and it's scary. And these ghosts are like, what? Even though the ghosts are like his family, they're really sweet. I think, in the future, we will definitely do a Gaiman episode.
Nice.
But Coraline. So, yeah. Again, I like it. I think you should scare your kids. I think they should be a little older because there are like the explicit like old ladies in it. And it is scary.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not like super older, but like.
Yeah. I'm totally about traumatizing your kids, y'all. Like, not like trauma, but like this is safe trauma. This is just they have a few nightmares and you have conversations about it. Like, everything's fine at the end of the day. And now they know. That life can be that way.
Yeah.
Now and they don't know. Want life to be that way. They gotta be nice. So, ultimately, you win.
You make them watch it, and then, whenever they act out of line, you gotta be like, should I get your other mother in here?
Is this like, do you want to go live with other mother? Buttons in a box with a needle in front of them. They'll be like, nope. I am a well-behaved little person.
I'm gonna clean my room. And I'm gonna eat these green beans.
I already know. I'm 100% gonna be like, you're hurting mom. Your actions are making me cry inside.
Oh, no.
My organs are weeping because you are being bad.
Oh, my God.
How long do you want me to live?
Oh, no. No. You're going to live in bad mom town.
No, I'm kidding.
You're
in
worse mom town.
I'm going to teach them empathy, and that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
They'll know I'm human.
One of my favorite stories is my aunt, she was separated from her first husband. Mm-hmm. She has a kid from her first marriage. And one time, there's just one time when she was, like, in middle school or whatever, where she, like, wasn't. She was like, you're not allowed to do this thing. So then her daughter was like, fine, then I'll go live with my dad. And she said, oh, yeah? And she picked up a suitcase, put it on the bed, and started packing it. She was like, fine, then. And she was like, no, Mom, like, I didn't mean it. So it's like, just do that, but for other mother. Be like, oh, yeah? Here's other mother.
You can let's go.
A skeleton lady, okay?
No hesitation.
Like,
you're going to make idle threats? Let's see those through.
Yeah.
You're going to learn today.
Yeah. This is a good film to show your kids if you want them to respect you and be thankful that you're their parent and not this lady.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like be nice to your kids. Your kids will be nice to you, especially in middle school. They give back the energy you give them.
Yeah.
You got it.
That's a rough time.
They're going to be miserable. It's not about you.
Yeah. If you move and take them away from their friends,
they're
going to
give
them some extra time.
Yeah, you got to pay attention to them.
Even if you are, like, if you learn from inside out, like, those parents did care. And those parents were really trying. They were like, please tell us if you're upset. And she's like, I'm fine. And then she wasn't, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she kept trying. So, like, even those parents who were trying, like, did not win until it was, like, time, you know?
Yeah.
You just gotta be patient. So, yeah.
Or just, you know, don't get married.
They'll eat your kids.
Yeah.
Or your kids will go to the other parents and they'll eat them instead.
Yeah, you had them. You didn't like them very much. They're gone now.
Don't get other married because they'll eat your kids.
Or they'll be a gourd man or a gourd person.
A gourd person. Ew.
With a mouth that's not a mouth. And when they open it, it's just webs.
Ew, gross.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, with that, good night.
Good night.